Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
God doesn't have love, He is love. Join Kenneth Copeland and Bill Winston today as they discuss God's command to love your neighbor as yourself. God's love encompasses every avenue of life, enabling you to conquer any fear.
Hello, everybody. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You today. We praise You and we open our hearts and minds, and by faith in You, by faith in the Holy Spirit, our teacher, we receive revelation from heaven, revelation of Your love for us. And we praise You for it, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Bill Winston, praise God, man.
Yes.
Let's start over again today, because we got started yesterday and it just kind of exploded, didn't it?
Well, that's what this love subject does.
It does.
It encompasses everything. It is not what God has. It is God.
Yeah. God doesn't have love. He is love.
He is love. Now, let's just start here at Matthew chapter 22 again in verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard He had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him. This is key now. And saying, Master, which is a great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So yesterday we kind of talked about having a love for God and having the love of God. For God to allow God to love us with covenant love, with unconditional love. Because it's in our own minds we've been taught that we've got to live by our own abilities. Well, that's Babylon. Mm-hmm. And once Babylon, you come out of that and get into the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Now, the kingdom is a new order of living by faith. And so now we have to understand that this faith works by love. Galatians 5, 6.
So it hangs. The law and prophets hang on those commandments. Faith hangs
on that law.
On that love.
Like
I said yesterday, like a curtain on a rod.
Absolutely.
It's totally dependent on that rod.
Totally dependent on that rod.
That's so
now
cool.
Let's look at two scriptures. Let's look at John first, John chapter 13. Over in John chapter 13, he says in verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are My disciples, when you have love one to another.
So we could take then, and should then take, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and strength.
That's correct.
Then love your neighbor as yourself. But then now, this commandment I give, that you love one another as I have loved you. So that's part of that commandment.
Yes.
Love the Lord thy God, love your neighbor as yourself. But it doesn't stop there. And the word as, the way it's written here in English, that you love one another, semicolon, as I have loved you. That semicolon stands for the word even.
Even. Gotcha.
So, man, that means, hey, something's happened in us. We've got the God-given authority and power to love one another even as He loved us.
And He loved us when we didn't love Him. We were running from Him, and God so loved the world that He gave His Son to go after us. Hmm. Now, in this, this kind of love is agape love. It's unconditional love. So people need to get acquainted with that. It's not the phileo love, the brotherly love. I'll love you up to a point. I'll love you as far as I'm able to love you. Well, why don't you love me with God's love? Because God's love can love me independent of what I'm doing, how I'm act, so forth Amen. And so on. Because this is a love that we're going to need to penetrate some of the places He's going to send us. See, we're going to need a stronger love than we've got, because that love that we've got can love somebody up to a certain point. And you do that again, I'm going to dot your eye, you know, that kind of thing. But this love is a unconditional love that it takes sometimes to penetrate that barrier that's trying to keep us out of the being able to witness effectively to people who are in the world to bring them back into the kingdom.
I just, as you said that, Jesus was moved with compassion.
Yes, sir.
And healed the sick. God is love, so compassion is a person.
That's exactly right. Moved with a person.
Not a feeling.
See,
it comes from commitment to this commandment, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Once I commit to this commandment, I've made a covenant with God. I'm going to love you, and I'm going to love you. It don't make no difference what you do. I love you before I met you. I love you after I met you. I love you when you spit on me, and I loved you when you blessed me with an offering. I mean, But the commitment was first. That's what I'm trying to get at.
And that commitment has to be first if you're going to do what God told you to do.
Because He committed first to love me like that.
See, we...
Oh, man.
And so, now look at John chapter 15, though. And look at John chapter 15, and let's look at verse 25, because this is kind of an interesting verse here. He says this, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause." Now, they hated Him without a cause. Now, he's saying now in John chapter 17. Now, look at 17, John 17 in verse 14. He says, "Now, I have given them Thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that You take them out of the world, but that You should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them now through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, as You've sent me to the world, so have I also sent them into the world." So He's not saying for us to come out of there. He's saying for us to go in there. Now, as we go in there, He is saying that He's going to be the keeper of us. And when we go in that world, we've got to love people and understand that, wait a minute, if I know that You are not the one that can hold back my promotion if God wants to promote me, then what's to keep me from loving You? I mean, why get mad at
You? You just got rid of the fear.
Come on.
You just got rid of the fear.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Maybe I ought not mention anything about my church or anything, because, you know, I might offend them. Well, now, wait a minute. I just offended God.
Oh, tell you.
I'm supposed to be, I'm here for a purpose.
Yes, indeed.
Now, perfected love will cast out the fear. When you followed that track right there, there was a moment. I literally sensed it as you said it. There was a moment the fear was gone. That is liberating, isn't it?
That is absolutely liberating. See, they hated Him, and they may hate you. It's not what you do. It's just how you are, how you're made, the one you represent, and so forth. This world is filled. I mean, there's demonic influences all around this thing. They may not love you. Wow. You didn't do anything to them. They just don't like you. But they can't stop you. And if they can't stop you, what's to keep you from loving them? Well, what's the big deal? They're not, the Bible says for us in Psalm chapter 75, promotion for us does not come from the east or from the west.
No, it comes from above.
It comes from above.
Yes, it does.
Now, God is putting you in that world, and he's going to increase your influence.
Now, let's say you didn't get promoted.
I got you. Okay.
you hadn't had a promotion. Everybody got promoted over you. Everybody got promoted over you. Your quality of life is not based on that promotion because you're seeking first the kingdom of God. You don't need their money.
Brother Copeland, you mean I can have as big a house as a supervisor?
You make the supervisor so jealous, he may fire you to get you out of his sight. That's what happened.
Back yet. Yeah. That's,
Isaac sowed
he sure did.
Well, what was going on in that, Bill? God sent him in there.
Yes, he did. Told him to
now,
right
he
there.
Sowed in famine and reaped 100-fold. He dug wells that and got water.
He sure did.
Now, what was happening here, God was breaking that famine.
Absolutely. With him.
With him. Mm-hmm. Now, they thought the famine was over because the wells are flowing, the trees are blooming and all that
until
again.
Until he left, huh?
And they got so mad at him because his estate got bigger than the king.
That is exactly right.
The king wasn't giving him anything.
The Bible says they wanted him out of the country.
They ran him off. And the fruit trees died and the wells dried up. But now that is a picture
of the believer going into the world.
Oh, man. We got to get this. That his love for me is it's stunning, it's astounding. But his love for you is the same as it is for me. And I got to come to you. And hey.
Yes, sir.
You love me when you know me. You may
right.
start out hating me.
That's exactly
but
right.
But I got to keep loving you to get you through that.
Man.
Ain't nothing you can do to hurt me. You kill me, you get me out of this mess. So I have no fear of death because I know he loves me. Ah, get on with it.
I'm telling you. This is powerful. See, people trying to do things in faith without love, you're not supposed to do that. These run together. And so, now let's look at Matthew chapter 13 again.
Mm. Hang on a minute. Lord God.
Praise
thank
the
Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. Praise you. Now, what'd you say?
God told me, he said, I want you to teach on the power of love. I'm thinking there's not much in there, a couple of sermons. You know what I mean? I've been on this thing for almost 30 lessons. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, it's more down under there. I'm gonna just have to get off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask the Lord about it. But it, now watch this. This is Matthew's gospel, in chapter 13. Now look at the analogy of this as we were talking about just now, verse 31. Another parable put he forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it's the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." Now, let's see this. He's talking here about a believer being planted into the world. True enough, we're talking about a seed. Well, we are the seed.
Yeah, that's what
of Abraham.
Are.
Glory to that's God. And God is planting us like his seed. And he plants us deliberately among the ungodly. This is deliberate. This is not by accident. He took Joseph and delivered him from his brothers to Egypt.
Yeah.
Why? Because there was an anointing there that would trigger the blessing inside of him.
Oh, this, that's good.
You follow what I'm saying? To bring forth the most powerful economy in the world. So here he was, and he is saying, now, you're going to be the least of all seeds. In other words, when you first get there, you're going to be obscure. Nobody knew me when I got to Chicago.
Nobody in that ministry, nobody cared, and you know, so forth. I had the first storefront church down in the roughest area in Chicago, in Lake of Pulaski, and start, nobody cared. But today, I'm being invited at the table of everything seemingly that's significant that go on. Today, our shopping malls gave 400 to 500 jobs, employed people. So today, now I'm just saying, if you go in there like he tells you and stay in love, then that faith will work and raise you up, that when your beginning was small, your latter end shall greatly increase. So in here, you will become the greatest influence in that world. And that's what God is looking
for. That's the reason he put you in there?
That's the reason he put you in there.
I'm quoting you. I heard you say in a Sunday morning message you preached there at your place. You said, teaching on this same thing.
Yeah.
You said, if I can just get one of you, if I can just get one member of this church to come on up here with me and get up on top of this mountain that where we're supposed to be here, which is what you were just talking
about.
You're an insignificant seed when you get put in there, but it begins to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow until you get up on top of that mountain there.
Where
the reason why God called you in that place to start with, you said, if I can get just one,
it's going to affect thousands, maybe millions of people.
Yeah.
Millions of people will be affected by one person who's on the mountaintop.
112th Psalm, right?
Praise God, man.
112th Psalm, right? Ooh-wee. Now, here is a man. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Proverbs 10:22. Blessed is the man that feareth or has high honor and extreme reverence to God, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth.
That's look at it,
this.
Isn't it?
This is what I said.
Mm-hmm.
The generation of the upright shall be blessed. This man blessed a whole generation. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Here's a man that said, God, tell me something to do. I delight in following through on your commands, because when I do, boom, the blessing of the Lord explodes around me, and it goes to affecting everybody else.
Everybody.
Now, here's a man that he had a house, and is full of wealth and riches, and his righteousness is intact. So he's not the world wealthy. He is the God-blessed wealthy. And the thing that got him there was, command me.
Yes.
Give me another commandment. Tell me somewhere to go. You got some nasty place that needs to be blessed?
Send me there.
Send me over there.
The worst place over there.
Tell me to do something that's so big I can't possibly do it.
Isn't it?
Because I can't be blessed until I got something from you. I got to have a commandment. I got to be commanded here. I'm nothing until you tell me.
I'm looking for something. Give me something.
Yes, sir. I'm here, sir.
Wow.
I'm yours to command. Now, come on. I ain't nothing until you tell me to do something.
This is it, isn't it?
Because love has got to get in that place. And I'm a carrier. I'm infected with it. I'll go pass this around.
But this is what you said in John chapter 14. Over in John chapter 14, this is just what you're talking about right here, verse 21.
Yes, it
he
is.
He that has my commandments, am I right about that?
Yes, sir.
And keepeth them, it's he that loveth me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I'll manifest myself to him.
He didn't say nothing about crying all night long. He didn't say about shouting, well, I love God. Well, do you? Yeah, I love God. trouble. Why didn't you do what he said? Well, I couldn't. My wife wouldn't let me. No, you love your wife more than you do God. There ain't no way I love her. No. But in relationship to this, you did, because you put something
that's
else in.
That's exactly
when
right.
When you get a revelation of the fact that my he loves me,
goodness.
And they can't hurt me if they can't.
My goodness, this is powerful. I'm telling
you. The fear is gone.
The fear is gone, and you got to get rid of that fear.
Oh, yeah. No. The fear is the only reason you haven't got it now. He that fears is not made perfect
in love.
Isn't that what 1 John
says? That's what he says. Now, let's look at that. Can we look at that just for?
Tim, how much time we got left here? Don't look at that.
Okay,
let's go with it.
Well, just read the scripture, and then we'll come back to it at the next session. He says, on tomorrow, he says that down at 1 John chapter 4, and verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
he says, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
Now, if you got any fear in your life, and this fear is bothering you, just stand up right now and say, Lord, I've found a problem here. Mm-hmm. I'm not practicing the love of God. It's when we love one another, you go back up a couple of verses there, when we love one another, love perfected in. Practice makes perfect. I need to be loving. I need to be doing this all the time, every day, day in, day out, all the time. It grows and gets bigger. The bigger the love, the bigger the faith.
Oh, my goodness.
Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Things are happening right now.
Yes, sir. I can feel
people
it.
Are getting healed right now.
I can sense it in the spirit.
People just people that just realize, glory to God. I need to be forgiving. I need to be practicing this.
Right there.
And the moment you make that decision, sickness just says, well, I can't stay here anymore. I'm gone.
Go.
Because of the Master, love himself, the healer himself is in the house. Glory to God. Just sit there and get healed a little bit, and Bill and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.